pastor, went to ORU, and then after graduating from there, went to AGTS, to our theological seminary, graduated with his Master's of Divinity. And so he's smart and charming, single and available, all those kind of things. I'm gonna free myself from this contraction here for just a minute. And so a couple of 3 weeks ago, he was hired, is that the way, or called or whatever, chosen to be the youth pastor at Grand Assembly in Chickasha, Oklahoma. Some of you old Sand Spring folk, Gary Rogers is the pastor there. Gary was youth pastor with Brother Bill many years ago, and then was pastor at Coweta. And so he's a great guy. They've got a great guy coming. You've already been there, preached like youth service, right? So yeah. And so they let him. The pastor said, "We want you here." And he said, "Well, I'd really like to be at my home church one more Sunday to be able to for the church to send me out from here." And that's what we want to do this morning, is to pray for him and just send him out with the blessings of God upon him. Amen. And so let me stand up, because that's what I want to do, because I can. I just can't stand for long. Thank you, Jeff, for pulling that out of there. I want to read you this. You're a licensed minister, so they probably read this to you at some point in time. But this is what Paul told Timothy. And so you're a son in the Lord here. "In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they'll gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear, and they'll turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, and discharge all the duties of your ministry." Paul's telling Timothy, get in there, get the job done, be faithful, do what God's called you to do. Paula, can you help Margie up here, and the two of you come up here and join us, if you would. Brian will give the ladies a hand here, but I want them to part of this prayer. And we love you, and we hate to see you go somewhere, but this is what you're supposed to do. And Mom and Dad know that. The psalmist said that, or somebody said that, children are like arrows, you know, and you get a quiver full. That was the blessing that comes. But then you take arrows and you shoot them somewhere. And we feel like we're launching you to a good place and a good ministry. And so we lay our hands upon you this morning. You've already been called and chosen and ordained. And we're just going to pray the blessing of God and the blessing of Carbondale to rest on you, because we send you out as a son of this house to bless others in Chickasha. Amen. Join me as we pray this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we lay our hands upon Jordan today, we thank you for the calling of God upon him, for the gift of God that's placed upon him to be a pastor, to be a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to lead and to nurture another generation. Once again, Lord, I pray that everything that his hand finds to do, he'll do it with all his might. I pray, Lord, for that board and the pastor, Pastor Gary Rogers, Lord, and the church there, the youth and the youth sponsors, all, Lord, their hearts are going to be knit together with Jordan. They'll recognize in him the same call of God that we recognize today as we lay our hands upon him, Lord. And we ordain and commission him to do the work that you've called him to do. That the gift of God, Lord, those gifts are already in him, to preach, to study, to teach, to proclaim, to lead. But Lord, we pray that every gift that's needed for him to be effective in ministry would reside in him and work through him, Lord. We stir up every gift of God within him to be used in a mighty fashion and in a mighty way, Lord, that he'll lead others, Lord, and that out of that youth group, he'll raise up more leaders and preachers and missionaries and teachers and evangelists, Lord, that they'll see a revival break out among the youth of that church, Lord, that the blessing of God will be upon them. And Lord, that he'll know the covering and the love and prayers of this house rest upon him as well, Lord. You've You've seen him, Lord. You've raised him up from his youth, Lord, to do what you've called him to do. And now, Lord, the blessing of God rest upon him as we send him from this place.
You are favored beyond measure that God has chosen you and well prepared you for the moments ahead of you. And the sacred call and the sacred trust of ministry must always be the center of your being as you minister youth. For youth will listen, and maybe years and the years to come, they will obey what you have taught them. But sometimes it takes moments of despair for it to kick in. But the Lord is faithful. When you plant the seed, He will bring it to harvest. You are highly blessed, and God is going to use you in a phenomenal way.
Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that promise, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, love you, baby. Proud of you. Proud of you. Proud of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, through the years, there have been a whole lot of days like this. It's one of the, it's one of the blessings of Carbondale, is that through these 80-some years, God keeps raising up people and sending them out. So we've got people around the world serving Jesus that call this place home, that cut their teeth here. So anyway, thank you, Jeff. Thank you for your prayers for Jordan, and we just pray blessing upon him in the days ahead. There's good things in store. So if you're ever visiting in Chickasha, well, you know where to go to church. It's right there. All right, back at it again. Hallelujah. All right. Lots of hugs. I like kids that grow up in children's church and serve God and come through the youth group and then say, all right, the Lord's calling me to go preach, and there's more of them sitting out here that God's got something good in store in all kinds of ways. So amen for that. Well, I love sermons about hope, and since I kind of missed the sermon series on hope, I got to preach one time and because last Sunday was our day of hope, and because I'm the pastor, so I still get to decide a few things, I'm going to preach a couple more sermons about hope because I can and because I felt like that's what I'm supposed to do. So I said a couple of weeks ago that your body, you can live for days, weeks actually, without food. You can live for days without water. You can live for minutes without air. But your soul just can't survive without hope. You got to have hope. Hopeless people wither and die. And we live in a world full of hopeless people, overwhelmed by circumstances and some of their own choosing, and some just life happened to them. And all of a sudden, there's trouble everywhere, and overwhelmed by just weary and exhausted and trying to go on, but almost paralyzed by the hopelessness of their circumstances. 5 years ago, actually 6 years ago, we started every year kind of, we did that healing, hope, laughter, and peace. So we had a year of healing, then we talked about a year of hope in 2013. So 5 years ago, and we then kind of thematically throughout the year would preach some messages about hope. It was one of those Sundays, and I preached a message that I titled it A Little Bit of Hope. And I remember standing out in the foyer and shaking hands with people, and there was a lady there, and I don't, she may be here this morning, but I'd not met her before and introduced myself, and I believe she said that was her first time, or within she had only come a few times. And she then told me that her daughter was a heroin addict, was battling addiction. And I'll never forget her saying, thank you for the message this morning. She said, this morning, I've got a little bit of hope. I've got a little bit of hope. And I thought, Lord, that's all it takes, is a little bit of hope. You know, it may not be overwhelming faith or confidence, but you got a little bit of hope. And some of you this morning know what I'm talking about. You've been there, or you're there now. There's a mountain in your path. You're facing the biggest trial in your life. You've gotten a you've gotten a word from the doctor or from the banker or the attorney or whatever, that it looks like your life is changing and going in a direction that you never thought you were going to be in. You're wishing for an answer or for direction, and everything just seems hopeless, and you need a little bit of hope this morning. And let me tell you, that little bit of hope can make all the difference in your life. So I want to revisit that thought this morning and talk to you a little bit about a little bit of hope. Webster's Dictionary defines hope as a desire for some good accompanied with at least a slight expectation of obtaining it, or a belief that it's obtainable, confidence in a future event. At least a slight expectation of obtaining it. That's not asking for too much, is it? You say, well, I just don't have much faith. Well, have you got a little bit of hope this morning? Because a little bit of hope says at least it might happen. And this morning, that's a good place to start. At least a slight expectation of obtaining it. The Greek word in the New Testament that's often translated as hope is typically defined as happy anticipation of good or a favorable and confident expectation. As believers who have put our faith in Christ, I think we move to that place. We've got a favorable and confident expectation that God is going to do what He said He was going to do, because our hope is in the Lord and in His Word. I like that, a favorable and confident expectation. We're expecting by faith, with confidence, a better day. We're expecting a healing. We're expecting a deliverance. We're expecting an answer to our prayers. We're expecting salvation for our loved ones. We're expecting God to intervene in our circumstances and to change things. We are hope-filled for the future, for eternity. We're anticipating with confidence our ultimate redemption, that God's going to take us out of here someday and we're going to be united with Him forever in the presence of the Lord for eternity. That's our hope. We have hope this morning, a favorable and confident expectation that anything and everything is possible to those who walk with God and put their trust in Him. And here's the key thing to remember this morning. If you forget everything else, remember this. It matters on what and in whom you have placed your hope. You see, you can put your hope in all kinds of things. Acts chapter 16 tells the story of a slave girl who had an evil spirit that enabled her to tell fortunes or to predict the future in some extent. And she made a lot of money for her owners, people kind of steeped in superstition. And Paul cast the demon out of her. He got annoyed with her and with what was going on. He cast the demon out of this girl and delivered her. This is what it says in Acts chapter 16. It says, when the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, because this girl's, she didn't have an ability to tell fortunes. The devil was dreaming up stuff. But anyway, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities, trumped up some charges against them and wanted to get rid of Paul and Silas because of the fact that their hope of making money in this girl was gone. Those men, like a lot of folks, placed their hope in money. They thought making money or having wealth would solve all their problems. All of us would like to have a little more money than what we've got, right? I mean, I'm pretty sure of that. The problem is the richest guy in the world just thinks he needs a couple of dollars more, right? I mean, bless those guys that are giving it all, Gates and those guys are giving away $500 million or whatever, but I haven't seen them just retired or a mountaintop. They're still figuring if I get just a little more, that's going to be a better thing. If this much is good, a whole lot more is even better. So the world's full of people that have put their hope in money. If you on your way home today, you're in Tulsa, you'll drive past a casino. And I'm guarantee you there are more cars in the parking lot at any of the casinos than there are here at church today or any of the other churches in town. Why? Because people figure out that they're going to make money this way. And they're going to get enough to pay off the debt that they got from last month when they lost all their money at the casino. Right? Because I lost all my money in January and February and March and April and May and June and July and August and most of September. But this time, I'm punching in a winner, all right? This time we're going to make it. And that's the genius of hope. But it's not just there. Their office is full of folk downtown today working on Sunday. And instead of going to church or instead of spending time with their family, they're trying to make an extra few dollars because their hope is in the money. But then we got folk in church this morning full of folks as well that are putting their hope in money. Paul told Timothy, and he's telling Timothy to command this, to teach this to the church folk, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God. Putting your hope in money or in wealth or in your IRA or in your bank account or whatever, putting your hope in possessions is uncertain. It can all go away in a moment. Somebody embezzles all your money. The tornado blew your house away and the insurance says, no, we're not paying for that. The flood washed it away. Everything's gone. Everything you put your hope in can be gone like that. It matters where you place your hope. The religious Jews in Jesus' day placed their hope in Moses and the law of Moses and their ability to keep the law. Their hope was they could keep the law perfectly and that would save them by their good works and good deeds. But Jesus said to them in John 5, "Do not think I will accuse you before the Father. Your accuser is Moses on whom your hopes are set." Jesus didn't have to accuse them. It would be the law of Moses that would accuse them because they had broken the law. Jesus was saying they'd set their hopes on their ability, their own ability, to keep the law perfectly. And they thought obedience to the law of Moses and to the good works and good deeds would be enough to save them. But the stark truth is, none of us are good enough. None of us keep the law perfect. So Romans chapter 3 says, there are none righteous. No, not one. None of us are able to do that. The Bible tells us we're all lawbreakers. We've all sinned and come short of the mark and the standard. We all need a Savior. It matters where you place your hope. The Apostle Paul wrote, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we're to be more pitied than all men. Some folks have put all their hope in this life, and boy, they're going to just wring the last little bit out of it, and that's good, and we should live it to the fullest and all that. But they've got no thought of eternity, no hope for eternity. It's just about what they have and what they get and what they do here. They're hoping that this is all there is. They're holding on to it with all their strength. But here's the truth for you this morning. None of us are getting out of here alive, okay? None of us are going to get out of here alive. If Jesus tarries, we're all going to die someday. And we need a hope that stretches beyond this life and beyond the allotted number of years we're going to live. Because sooner or later, we're going to die. It matters on whom you have placed your hope. You better have a hope that'll take you through death and right into the presence of God. It determines the outcome. It affects how we live our lives based on our hope. What's the basis for your hope this morning? Here's what the Bible says regarding the basis of our hope. Paul said, Paul, an apostle of Christ, identifies himself by the command of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus, our hope. Our hope is in Christ Jesus. Our hope is in God who made us and in His Son who redeemed us by a sacrifice on the cross. Paul spoke about circumstances that caused him to despair of life. He said, we were under great pressure, far beyond or above our ability to endure, so that we even despaired of life. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. And He's delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. On Him we have set our hope that He will continue to deliver us. On Him we've set our hope. Not on this life, not on the good days or bad days or whatever. He says, look, it was beyond my ability to endure. Somebody posted a thing on Facebook the other day that said, God won't put on you more than you can bear. And they scratched that out and then put this verse on there. Paul said, no, it was beyond our ability to bear it. It was more than we could bear. But the good news is we put our hope in God and He'll deliver us. He'll provide for us. He'll take us through those circumstances that seem like they're more than we can bear. On Him we've placed our hope, Paul says. What's the basis of your hope? The basis of my hope is on the one who raises the dead and heals the sick, the one who delivers, who has delivered us and who will deliver us. And I understand about despairing of life. I've been there and I understand that. And you may be there this morning. You need a little bit of hope. And the only certainty we can have about life or money or any of that stuff, the only certainty we have is in God Himself and in Christ who has come to save us and redeem us. It's in Christ alone, not money, not our good works, not our acts of charity, not even life itself. My hope is in Jesus Christ. We sang it this morning. My hope is built on nothing less that Jesus Christ and His righteousness, that's our hope. I'm glad Paul was honest with us about despairing of life. Because sometimes we read the Bible and think, oh, it's full of all these heroes and they didn't have a bad day. And all you got to do is just come to know Jesus and then all the bad days are gone. And the Bible, that doctrine doesn't exactly get borne out by the stories of the people in the Bible. They had some pretty bad days. So Paul can say, oh no, it was so bad I despaired of life. It was so bad we just didn't think we were going to make it. Psalm 42 is one of those that kind of describes that. He talks about thirsting after God the way a deer pants for the water and for the streams in Psalm 42. But it's a real look at a real person and a real situation. So Psalm 42 verse 3, he says, my tears have been my food day and night. Here's a guy in trouble. Here's a guy that knows about pain and knows about anguish and torment. Men were mocking him and saying, where's your God? So he feels abandoned and they're saying, yeah, I thought you said God was going to take care of you and now you can't make it. Now you're paralyzed. Now you're sick. Now you're dying. Now you're broke. Now you're bankrupt or whatever. And so where's your hope? My tears have been my food day and night. Where's your God? They're saying maybe he feels abandoned. But then we hear this instruction that the psalmist kind of gives to his own heart and soul when he says, put your hope in God. Don't give up. Put your hope in God. Regardless of what you see, regardless of what you feel, when your tears have been your only food, when you can't eat because you're just in despair, when everything's falling apart, when you feel hopeless, put your hope in God. And when you do, it's not just placing your hope in some memory verse you learned in Sunday school. You're basing your hope upon the very nature and character of God. You put your hope in the one who is and will always be faithful. So Paul says in 2 Timothy, even if we are faithless, yet he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Need a little bit of hope this morning? You've come to the right place. There is one who is forever faithful. That's the one we're talking about this morning, the one we're pointing to. And if you put your hope in him, he will see you through. He cannot disown himself. He will be faithful, and he'll give you the hope you need. He's here to help you. The Bible says our faith and knowledge are resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. You need a little bit of hope this morning? Let the one who does not lie, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, the one who promised from the very beginning, from before the beginning of time, before Genesis 1, he was faithful and he promised that he would meet our needs and see us all the way through and into his presence in eternity. You can trust him. He's worthy of your hope this morning. He's worthy of your trust. Put your trust in him. He doesn't lie. I think I quoted this 2 weeks ago when I preached, but after Jerusalem was destroyed in 586 B.C., the Babylonians, Nebuchadnezzar, they kind of did it in stages. But anyway, they finally took care of them, destroyed the city. Jeremiah loved that city. He's reflecting on the destruction and the despair. And he says, I remember my affliction and my wandering and the bitterness and the gall in his soul. I well remember them and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I'll wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. There may be moments in your life when it just feels like giving up. It feels like you've lost everything. And you can do what Jeremiah did. You can say, but you know what? The Lord is my portion. He's my inheritance. He's what I need. It's not about how many dollars I got in the bank. It's not about how many houses I own. It's not about anything else. He's my portion. I'm going to wait for him. I'm going to look to him for the deliverance I need, the help I am. And he's good to those whose hope is in the Lord. Put your hope in him, in his unfailing character, in spite of your circumstances, in spite of what you see this morning, in spite of what you know, in spite of what somebody told you. Put your hope in the Lord. And as you do, as you hope in his steadfast character, as you hope in his word and his promise, I believe that hope is going to be coming alive in you and you're going to know, I'm going to make it. The one who cannot and does not lie promised us in his word. And there's something better ahead. Our hope is in the Lord. We hope in him and in his unfailing promise. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 12 that the Lord watches over his word to see that it's fulfilled. He watches over it. He waits. He watches to make sure that it's accomplished, that it does what He intends for it to do in your life and in your circumstances. What's the Lord's word to you this morning? What's He said to you? What's He spoken to you? What's He promised to you? And you're still waiting on it. Stand on that word in spite of what you see or what you don't see. Keep standing on that word. Keep standing on that promise. It's a foundation for hope in your life. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, "My eyes fail looking for your promise." But then later he says, "But I put my hope in your word." He says, "Look, I've waited so long looking for the answer. I've waited so long looking for God to fulfill His promise in my life. My eyes are starting to fail. My eyesight's not what it was when I started hoping for this." Or maybe it's just pollen and mold. But somewhere or another, my eyes are starting to fail. But I keep looking for the fulfillment of the promise. Why? Why? Because he knew that God was faithful. Because he'd put his hope in the Lord. I think about that father, the prodigal son. Was his hope in that son that someday, I raised that boy right, someday he's going to come to his senses and come home. And maybe that's what it was. But maybe it was the fact that he'd put his hope in the Lord. And every day he walked out there until, man, his bifocals weren't working right and his eyes were starting to fail. And he kept waiting every day thinking, when's my boy going to come home? When's my boy going to come home? And I don't know if he had faith in his son, but he had hope in the Lord. That he prayed every day, "Oh God, wherever that boy is, take care of him, provide for him, keep him from harm, keep him from sin, keep him from death. And oh God, even if you don't ever bring him home to my house, bring him home to yours. But God, I'm expecting you to be faithful, and I'm not going to quit believing, and I'm not going to quit trusting, I'm not going to quit hoping until I see it happen. My eyes may be failing, but my hope is in the Lord." And finally one day he saw him walking down the road and he had come home. I don't know what you're counting on, but if you put your hope in the Lord and your prayer is directed towards Him, I believe you can rest today in the faithful, loving character of God and know that someday, even though your eyes may fail, He's going to keep His word to you and you're going to see that promise fulfilled. "I've put my hope in your word." The psalmist is saying, "I haven't seen it yet, but I still have hope that what God has promised, it's going to come to pass. My hope is in the Lord, so I won't give up even if the answer is delayed, even if I'm having to wait a long time, even if years go by, even if I die waiting for the fulfillment of the promise." That's what Hebrews 11 is all about. All these died waiting for the fulfillment of the promise. And you may not see that loved one saved in your lifetime, but the next generation will see it happen after you've gone to heaven. I just know you can put your hope in the Lord and trust Him, and He's watching over His word to see that everything He said will be accomplished in your life on the basis of your hope. The psalmist said, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled. It's established in heaven. We can trust Him and the faithfulness of His word." What's the basis for your hope? My basis for my hope is the Lord's nature and His character. The basis for my hope is in the faithfulness of God's promise, that He's watching over it to fulfill it. He's going to accomplish what He promised and what He said. And you can put your hope in the Lord's unfailing mercy. Folks, there's still things that God's spoken about this church and about its destiny and future. I haven't seen it yet, and I may not see it. It may not be for me to see it. It may be the next generation to see it. But I still know that God's got a purpose. He still wants to pour His Spirit out in this place. He still wants the miracles to happen and deliverance to come. He still intends that people are lined up to walk inside this place to hear a message of hope. And I don't know when it'll happen, but someday it happens because His Word is faithful and true, and we can rest in His promise. We can put our hope in His character, put our hope in His word, and we can hope in the Lord's unfailing mercy. Psalm 147 verse 11 says, "The Lord delights in those who fear Him, who put their hope in His unfailing love." Our hope is in the mercy of the Lord this morning. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just. He'll forgive our sins and cleanse us. By faith He then imputes or gives to us His righteousness, and we have right standing with God through Christ. My hope is in the mercy of the Lord alone, not my performance, not my good works, not my best effort, not my ability to keep all the law. My hope is in His mercy and in His saving, redeeming grace. What's the basis for your hope today? My hope is in God, His unfailing nature and character and His love, in His word and His faithful promise that's steadfast and certain and true. and my hope is in His mercy and grace. It matters where you place your hope today. If you're placing your hope in anything or anyone else, you're going to be disappointed. But Paul said in Romans 5, hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He's given us. Hope won't disappoint you. You put your hope in the Lord and you can rest in Him and trust Him and He'll take you all the way to heaven. There's nobody else, nothing else worth putting your hope in but in Jesus. You say, well, yeah, that's all well and good, but that's your philosophy. That's your theology. That's your idea. It's based on some kind of words that you think were written in this ancient old book or whatever. But I want you to understand this book is more than a book for theologians. It's a book about people, real stories about real people in real situations that were desperate. And the good news of the gospel is the giver of hope comes to turn things around in their lives. Isn't that wonderful? John chapter 5, just a quick look at a couple of stories. John chapter 5 tells about a man that had been paralyzed for 38 years. For some of you, that's a lifetime, right? That's how long you've been alive. And some of you, that's twice as long as you've been alive. It's a long time, yeah. A lifetime, 38 years. 38 years of waiting for a miracle that never came. 38 years of being paralyzed, unable to walk, unable to move, unable to care for himself. It felt like a hopeless situation. Nothing could be done in the first century for someone that was paralyzed. And 2,000 years later, in spite of all the medical changes and progress that's been made, still pretty much that way. Paralysis seems to be irreversible in most situations. This man is in this hopeless condition, but apparently he had some friends that still had hope for him because they brought him to the pool of Bethesda. It was a beautiful pool surrounded by five covered colonnades. The ruins of Bethesda, the colonnade and the pool there, are still there, just a little ways inside St. Stephen's Gate. We're going the end of May next year. If you want to go with us, you need to call the church and say, hey, I want to go get your money, your deposit in, because we've got 25, I think, already going. We're closing in on it. And we'll go see the pool of Bethesda right there by St. Anne's. We'll go sing in the church. And anyway, I can't get talking about that. So the blind and the crippled were brought there and put around this amazing pool of Bethesda because of a legend that at times an angel would come down and stir the waters, and the first person into the pools after the water was stirred would be healed. And the friends believed that, and the paralyzed man, I guess, believed it, because every day they brought him down there. He still had hope, but it was a misplaced hope. His hope was in the miraculous stirring of the water, and it appears to have just been a story, a legend. But something extraordinary happened when Jesus came by, according to John's gospel. Jesus, the giver of hope, came by, spoke to this man, and he said, do you want to be healed? And he said, oh yeah, but I don't have anybody to shove me into the water when the water's stirred. People get in ahead of me. Others jump in, and I can't move, and so there's not much hope for me. And Jesus said, I tell you what, put your hope somewhere else. Take up your mat and go home. And instantly, Jesus healed him. After 38 years, healing came to him. You need a little bit of hope this morning? Jesus brings hope to the hopeless. And maybe you've been waiting 38 years for the answer to a prayer. Don't give up. Put your hope in God. The answer's still there. Jesus still heals. And this book is full of stories of hope for hopeless situations. Mark chapter 5 tells about a demon-possessed man who lived among the tombs and caves along the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee, somewhere Gerasenes or Gadara, whatever, it's kind of undetermined somewhere up there, but there are hills up there and caves. And so the Bible says he would scream and cry out and cut himself. He was driven to madness by demonic forces. Everybody looks, it says at the end after he's delivered, he was clothed and in his right mind. So from what I can tell, all of you look clothed and the majority of you look like you're in your right mind this morning. So it may be that we're not dealing with demon possession in anybody, but maybe you can relate to the hopelessness of mental illness. I'm not comparing mental illness to demon possession, but understand to the hopelessness that you feel today of just depression and despair or compulsive behavior. Or maybe you're injuring yourself, not like this guy. The Bible says he was cutting himself. Maybe you're injuring yourself by abusing drugs or alcohol, or maybe you're literally cutting yourself, or maybe there are suicidal thoughts, or you've attempted suicide. This is the way this man felt. He wanted to die, but he was out of control. And maybe you feel that way this morning. Out of control and desperate, trapped in a life or a lifestyle that controls you instead of you controlling it. You're living today, but it sure doesn't feel much like much of a life. This man was living in the cemetery among the tombs, a place that would be unclean for a Jewish person. And maybe life has taken you somewhere you never thought you were going to be at this stage of your life. You're not living in a cemetery, but you're sure living in a way that you think, I never thought I'd be here. How did I end up here? How did I end up in this mess? How did I end up living like this? This is not the way I thought my life was going to be. Bound up, addicted, alone, dying, hopeless. But then the giver of hope comes by. That's what happened. Jesus showed up and the man ran before him. And Jesus saw this man and spoke to the demons to come out and delivered him and set him free. And the man said, let me go with you. And Jesus said, no, go home to your family and your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how He's shown mercy to you. No one, that story above everything tells you that no one is beyond the reach of hope this morning. And you may be feeling hopeless, or somebody you love and somebody you care about may be as hopeless as the paralyzed man, or as hopeless as this demoniac, and so driven by suicidal thoughts or by madness that the devil brings. But when Jesus comes, I'm telling you this morning, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. There's hope. There's hope for you this morning. There's hope for you that are watching us on the web this morning. There's hope for you and your circumstances. Jesus offers hope today. Mark chapter 5 verse 24 tells about a woman then that came to Jesus with what the Bible called an issue of blood. She had spent all of her money on doctors and medical treatments, but the Bible says she only seemed to be getting worse. It seemed to be an incurable illness that she had. Hope was fading from her, and then she heard that Jesus was coming. And she decided, the way the English fellows translated it, if she could just touch the hem of His garment. It literally, she was talking about touching the tassels of His prayer shawl that He wore. And there were tassels hanging down. It's called tzitzit, just little strings of a tassel. And she thought, if I could just touch one string of that tassel on His prayer shawl, that was hope speaking to her that day. I've got hope that if I could just touch that, somehow things would change for me. She wasn't supposed to be in a crowd. No one was supposed to touch her because she was ceremonially unclean according to the Jewish law. But she risked everything to make her way through the crowd in order to get there to touch that tassel. She didn't want to touch Him, but she just thought, if I touch that tassel on His garment, it'll be all right. Driven by hope. And others may have given up, but not this lady. She made her way through, touched that tassel of His garment. And when she did, Jesus stopped the crowd and said, wait, stop. Somebody touched me. And the disciples said, look, everybody's touching you. People are bumping into you all around. There, people are touching you everywhere. And Jesus said, no. I felt virtue. I felt power, unction go out of me. I think another way to say it, I think Jesus wanted to say, I felt hope touch me this morning. I felt hope touch me. There are hopeless people all around here, but I felt hope touch me this morning. Let me tell you a little something about hope. It's not that we have to manufacture it. God gives us the hope and then says, take that little bit of hope I gave you this morning and put it all in me. Invest it all in me. Turn it all over to me, and I'll take that hope and I'll transform it into a miracle and provision and blessing for you. And Jesus will always stop when He's touched by hope. And that lady, all of a sudden He says, hope grabbed hold of me today. Hope stopped me in my tracks. You need hope this morning? He gives you the hope that you need if you'll put it in Him. Need faith this morning? The Bible says He's given to us a measure of faith. He gives us what we need to reach out to Him, to cry out to Him today. He gives you the voice and the strength to be able to call upon His name, and that hope will stop him in his track. And he turned around and said, who touched? She said, it was me. It was me. And he said, come here. And then she fell on her face before him, and he picked her up and said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Your faith has healed you. Go on your way. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. She must have felt hopeless at times, chronically ill, battling this. Imagine how, well, some of you don't have to imagine. You know what it's like to chronically ill. You're going through this. Maybe you're going through chemo again, and you know that routine of sickness and nausea and the dread, and you just get a day of feeling better, and they say, okay, now you got to have another treatment, and then you got 5 years of this, and on it goes, and you're just overwhelmed by it. And yet she thought, if I can just get to Jesus, a little bit of hope can make all the difference, and it will Listen, you say, well, yeah, that's all well and good, but that's in the Bible. You don't know my situation. Listen, it doesn't matter. Well, but I'm in worse shape. Maybe you're in worse shape than the paralyzed guy of 38 years. Maybe you're in worse shape of the demoniac. Maybe you're in worse shape. But the end of Mark chapter 5, Jesus was on his way to pray for a girl. And by the time he gets there, they said, oh, she's already dead. And Jesus goes in, takes her by the hand and says, little daughter, stand up. Regardless of how hopeless your situation is, you're here this morning. You're breathing. You're watching on the web this morning. Then you're not dead yet. And Jesus even raises the dead from the grave. Hallelujah. So whatever your circumstances this morning, surely it's not worse than death. Well, maybe it is. But I'm telling you, He's there to meet you. He's there to take care of it. Your situation, whatever it is, bring that to the one who raises the dead, who heals the sick, who delivers the demon-possessed, the chronically ill, the mentally ill, whatever. He can do anything and everything we need Him to do. Put your hope in the Lord. What you need this morning is a little bit of hope. And I got to tell you, a little bit of hope is maybe more than enough. A little bit of hope put in the right place, trusting in Him. Hope that's put in the Lord, the provider of hope and help to all who will trust Him. Exercise that little bit of hope today. You may be here, maybe you're listening, and you're weary and broken and betrayed. You've been betrayed by somebody you knew you could count on, and they betrayed you. They broke your heart. You're addicted. You're battling. You're confused. You're sick. You're tired. You're sick and tired. They go together. Depressed and in despair. Battered and bruised and overwhelmed by life. It doesn't matter what the circumstances. It may feel hopeless, but I'm telling you this morning, refuse to give up. There's a reason for hope today. Our hope is in the Lord, in His very faithful nature and character. He's not a man that He would lie. He won't deceive you. He won't forsake you. He won't let you down. Put your hope in Him and He will see you through. How can you say that? Because I know the God of hope. I know the God of all hope. I know His promises to me are certain and sure. I know because of His unfailing love. I know because His compassions never fail. I know because as sure as the sun may come up in the morning, God's mercy will be there in the morning and He'll sustain you and keep you. Can you hope with me this morning? Have you got a little bit of hope? Because that's a good place to start with a little bit of hope. Here's what the psalmist said. Why are you downcast, O my soul? And why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. I don't know how dark it may be where you're sitting this morning, how bleak the circumstances may be, how hopeless it may feel. You say, well, I've run out of hope. Well, listen, it just takes a little bit. Just a little bit that's pointed towards Him. Regardless, I'm hoping in the Lord. My confidence is in Him. So I may be downcast in soul and I may feel like giving up, but I'm not going to. I'm going to put my hope in Him. I will yet praise Him, for He is my Savior and my God. Amen. Let's stand together this morning. Hallelujah. I'm going to see if I can't stand up myself. If you're here this morning and you need a little bit of hope, if you're here and the circumstances seem hopeless to you, you seem overwhelmed, but I want to assure you this morning that there's hope for you. I want to assure you this morning that God can do what no other power can do. He can deliver you this morning. He can change your circumstances. Here's what I want us to do, and we're going to do this quickly. But if you're here this morning and there's a situation in your life that seems hopeless, I want you to slip out and come and stand here at the front, and we're going to pray together and believe God to take that little bit of hope we've got. Or you say, I don't even have a little bit this morning. Well, then that's another good place to start. Then we're going to pray for you. If there's I'm not saying you're hopeless. I'm saying maybe you're dealing with a situation that feels hopeless. Maybe you're praying for kids that are lost. You don't even know where they are in the world today. It seems hopeless, but you just need somebody to pray with you today. We're going to believe God. Because He still is arrested by hope. He's still stopped by our hope and our faith this morning as we trust Him. People are coming and you've got time to come this morning. If you're watching on the web this morning on the live cast, then you're here as well. And if there's a hopeless situation going on in your life, we're going to pray together this morning, this congregation, for you, that God will cause a little bit of hope to rise up in you, and you'll know that it's not hopeless. Your marriage is not hopeless. Your physical condition is not hopeless. That situation with your children is not hopeless. That mental illness that you're wrestling with or that your loved one's wrestling with, it's not hopeless. Listen, there's nothing hopeless. There's nothing beyond His power to heal and deliver. I don't care what the prognosis was, I don't care what the diagnosis was, God is still able to deliver. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe it? There are others that are still coming. Come on and gather in here. Let me get this wheelchair. I'm going to be delivered from this wheelchair one way or another. Hallelujah. Let's see if I can get around this thing. Would you stretch your hands toward these friends that are down here? You may want to come stand with some of them and pray with them this morning. That's fine, but we're going to pray together. We're going to believe God to do the extraordinary this morning. We're going to believe Him to instill a new place of hope. And I'm telling you, He'll give you hope, and then you take it and offer it to Him, and He turns it into something miraculous. Amen? Let's trust Him today. Father, as we stretch our hands toward these who have come this morning, as we pray for these gathered around this altar, they may be in a hopeless situation, or they're praying for a family member, a loved one, a friend, somebody that's of importance to them, and they're in a hopeless situation. They're feeling like, boy, it just looks like they'll never turn it around. They've prayed for their children or their grandchildren to be saved, and nothing's changed, Lord. It may be like the psalmist said, my eyes are failing me, looking, but I put my hope in You, and so I know somehow You're going to fulfill Your word to us. Lord, we lay claim to that today. There's hope for us today. We claim it in the name of Jesus for deliverance, for healing. Oh God, stretch forth Your hand to heal. We command sickness and disease to go. We command the enemy to take his hand off of God's property. We claim health. We claim Your provision for us today. Let hope arise in our hearts to believe You for the impossible. To believe You, Lord, that no situation is hopeless. There's nothing too hard for You. The Bible says, behold, I'm the Lord, the God of all flesh. There's nothing too difficult for Me. Nothing too difficult for us today, Lord. I believe You today for deliverance. I believe You today, Lord, that You're watching over Your word to fulfill it, to accomplish it. It's going to succeed. What You promised is going to be done. What the enemy's tried to steal from us, Lord, we're taken back today because of the faithfulness of Your character and the faithfulness of Your word, Lord. What the devil's tried to take, we're taking it back in the name of Jesus. God, You're faithful. You're faithful. You're faithful. Our hope is in You, so we're not going to be disappointed. Our hope is in You, Lord, so we're not going to be disappointed. Our hope is in You, Lord. And so what You've spoken to us is going to be fulfilled. What You declare to us is going to be fulfilled. What You speak to us today, it's going to be fulfilled, Lord. What You say about us, what You speak over us, it's going to be accomplished because You watch over Your word to accomplish it. You, we declare it today in faith. Thank You, Lord, that it is done in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, cause hope to arrive in our hearts. Hope to arise in our hearts today, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for hearing us. Thank You, Lord, that You respond to our cry. Thank You, Lord, that because our hope is in You, then the answer comes to us today. Thank You, Lord, that there is hope for us. Nothing, no one is beyond Your hope. No one is beyond Your touch today. Oh, how we bless the name of the Lord. How we bless the name of the Lord. I believe You, Lord. We'll see Your promise fulfilled. We'll see the needs met. We'll see Your hand stretched forth, Lord. You're watching over Your word to perform it, to accomplish it in our lives. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Some of you, God's spoken a word to you. He's given you a promise. You've had it in your heart. There's a verse you've claimed. There's a word that God spoke to you or spoke over you. There's something that you just say, I know this is going to happen. I don't know when, but I know that I know that I know that God said it was going to happen for my family, for my situation. Claim it today. Hear Jeremiah again, that God watches over His word to see that it's accomplished. It's going to happen. We trust Him today. We believe it today. We believe it today. In the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we give Him thanks and praise this morning that He watches over His word, that He's going to do what He said He's going to do, that we can trust Him today. Thank You, Lord. Our hope is in You. It's not in our bank account. It's not in our physical being. It's in You, Lord. Our hope is in You. Our hope is in You. We rested in You today. We trust You today. And we believe it in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Spirit of the living God, we trust you today. Oh, that you have good things in store for your people, that your provision is abundant. Your provision is even more than we imagine. It's more than we need, Lord. Oh, Rabakosub Rabakata. I believe you for it today, Lord. Somebody, there's a need in your life. It feels like you got an empty basket. And you're just thinking, I don't know how I'm going to fill this. And maybe that's a bank account that's empty. Or maybe that's a physical need. Maybe just the resources of your life are just empty. And I just sense the Holy Spirit saying that God's going to fill that emptiness with abundance. He's going to provide for you. Even what the devil tried to steal from you, God's going to bring back to you in abundance. He's going to provide for you. He's going to do what He said He was going to do. You can trust Him with that today. Amen. Let's hear the Holy Spirit this morning. Kustarabakashene. Lustubraba katilovorobotu shibla manda yestubraba. Kitorabaka seprondoli mikishe. Ileberostubra mikishiblan derebestebre betaya.
Because you have not had a miracle does not mean that it will not happen. For God's word is authentic and true. You can put your life on the line and know that God will do what His word has said this morning through the prophet of God declaring what the word does. The word is the foundation that we build our lives upon. And without hope, we'd be of all men most miserable. But we can look to Jesus and know today that He will not fail in any way. He will meet the need wherever it lies, and He has no respecter of person.
Hallelujah. Well, Lord, I thank you. Then that's for all of us, Lord, not just one or two, not hand-picked few, but Lord, for all of us, we can rest in you today, that your provision is there to help us and to keep us and sustain us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your promise. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Look, one more time, let's give Him thanks this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the hope we have in Jesus, the hope we have in you who provides for us today. Thank you, Lord, that our needs are met because we look to you today. Look, don't put your hope anywhere else because you'll be disappointed. But Paul says in Romans, our hope, we're not going to be disappointed when our hope's in the Lord. King James says, it maketh not ashamed. I like that. There's no reason for us to be ashamed when we put our hope in Him. Amen? Amen. May the blessings of God be upon you. You're welcome to linger down here and pray if you want or need to. May the Lord bless you. Thanks for watching us online. Thanks for being here. Life groups tonight. And I'm going to be here to speak tonight in this life group. We'll see you tonight. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Thank you.